Following is a repeat show that was previously broadcast on Unity FM.
Good afternoon, people. You're listening into 93.5 Unity FM. Sorry about that. We're now live, and we have got two guests in the studio today. We are going to be talking about microbes today, or germs. So it's an interesting topic, and a lot of there's a lot of germs going around at the moment. Lots of people have been ill. So today it was just going to be me in the studio, but I've managed to find two kids who are doing work experience at Unity FM, and they have said that they are happy to be on the show today. So in the studio we've got, do you want to introduce yourselves?
My name's Tahmid, I'm 15 from Darulum Islamic High School, Country Road.
Brilliant.
And my name is Abdul Yassin. I'm 15 years old and from Darul Uloom Birmingham Islamic High School.
So you both are doing work experience in the studio today?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
So how long have you been here?
Since Monday.
Since Monday. Yeah. And what have you got involved in?
We've basically started to do the news programme, which we basically start in the morning. We write local news stories and then we record it later, edit it, and then it goes on about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Oh, so you're being a journalist as well?
Yeah.
What about you? How have you found it so far?
I've done it. It's been so far so good. We've learned different, you know, how to learn, how to use different equipment and whatnot. So
is this something that you're looking to go into in the future, do you think?
I'm looking to go into IT, so...
So it's useful.
It has benefited me so far, yeah.
So I guess this is the application of IT in the real world for you.
Yep.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm interested in like media news, so this is something I'm interested in and something that I want to take like further careers in and education in.
Brilliant. So both of you, it's going to be beneficial in the future getting this work experience. So I'm assuming you're very grateful to be here as well.
Yeah, we are.
So how are you finding being live? Did you expect to go live today?
Nope.
So how it's going to work is we're going to be talking about microbes today, which is a Key Stage 3 / GCSE topic. So some of this you might have come across in school. Most of our listeners are home educators, although we are hitting school time, so we might get some school listeners as well in a little while. So the interesting thing is going to be we're going to cover some new content, hopefully for you guys as well, and then the listeners can call in and we'll do a quiz when they're ready to call in. Okay, so I'm going to be making some notes and questions that I'm going to be asking you because I do it off the cuff, and we'll see how, yeah, you can't look at the questions are mine, and then we'll see how you fare with some of our listeners. So we could have 5-year-olds call in, hopefully we'll get a few 5-year-olds go up against you. We might get some 10-year-olds call in and we'll see how many questions you get correct. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so microbes, let's start off with, what do you already know about microbes? Do you guys know anything?
So they are pathogens and they usually are the main causes of diseases. So they are the ones, how do I say it? They're responsible for most of the illnesses we get during the winter and whatnot.
Do we get good microbes as well?
Yes, we do. We've got some good ones that with live within, such as yogurt, bread, and useful things as well.
You already know lots of stuff, don't you? Can you just remind me of your names again?
Abdullah.
Abdullah and
Tahmid.
Tahmid. So we got Tahmid and Abdullah. They've just been handed some paper and some pens, so they'll be making some notes. So make sure you guys make some notes at home as well, because they seem to know quite a bit already. Right, so microbes, we're going to be talking about three different types of microbes. We've got viruses, okay, bacteria, and the other one is fungi. Okay, so you've got three different types of microbes. Which of those is the smallest?
Let's see. Bacteria.
What about you? What do you think?
Think it's fungi.
It's actually a virus. So virus is tiny.
Wow.
Bacteria, even though they're single-celled, what do we mean by a single cell?
It's not joined to anything else and it's on its own, basically.
Yeah, so a single-celled organism is basically a cell on its own. It can live on its own. So viruses are even smaller. And for a long time, they went undetected. Okay. And there were, I was watching a video the other week where there were ways of filtering out bacteria, but then people were still, or the substances were still carrying the disease, so they realised there was something else that was causing that. So viruses are much, much smaller. Okay. And there's some great images, if you go online, of what they look like. There's one type of virus which looks like it's a spider. And the way that they work is they'll find a cell and they will inject their kind of DNA into that cell so then it kind of replicates. So they're a bit like parasites in that respect. Hmm. What's a parasite?
It's like some sort of bug, like a mosquito or an insect, something that can basically infect you from what they have inside of them and then transfer it to someone else.
Well, parasites also live off another organism. Yeah. So, for example, head lice are a parasite. They will suck blood from your scalp, right?
Yeah.
Not really nice stuff to talk about. But they're parasites. So viruses are a bit like that, except that they will use the host cell as a means of replicating and a means of duplicating and spreading the virus. Okay? So a virus will inject its DNA into a cell. Now, there are different types of viruses. There's one type of virus which is like a key. It's round and it has like little keys around it. We can call it keys. I don't know what the right word for it is, but we'll call it keys. And the key will only fit into the lock of certain cells. So on top of the surface of cells in your body will have receptors. And these viruses will only be able to, the key will only fit into a certain lock.
A complementary shape.
Yeah. And when that happens, the host cell is able to engulf the virus cell and take it inside and be able to duplicate again as it does. Okay? So, what is a virus? In terms of, do you guys know what cells are, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so cells are this small things that they're like atoms, except we're talking about organisms here. So they make up our entire body. You've got skin cells, you've got brain cells, or neurons we call them. You also have blood cells and all sorts of cells in our bodies. Okay, so we have viruses. What are they like? Are they like a cell?
Yeah, you can say that.
In what way? What's the similarities?
They're really small.
But they're much smaller than a bacteria, which is a single cell.
Yeah.
So bacteria is very much like a cell that we know and describe as a cell. Okay? But a virus is much, much smaller. All it is DNA coat with a protein coat. That's it. There's nothing else. Okay, so it's DNA with a protein coat. And there's lots of different types of viruses that we have. And I'm going to mention a couple. So we have flu virus, cold, measles, mumps, rubella. Okay, so we've got a couple of different viruses there. And we already have a caller on the line. Okay, so let's put our headphones on. Where's my headphones? Hello?
Hello, hello, Faith.
Who's this?
Hussein.
Hussein, how are you, Hussein?
Okay, I have a question for you.
You have a question. So Hussein was the one that came on the live show when we did our very first live show at the beginning of Feb. Okay, so what's your question, Hussein?
How do I answer the question?
Can you just get a bit closer to the phone and speak a bit louder, please?
How does a cancer germ look like?
How does a cancer germ look like?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Any of you in the studio able to answer that question?
Oh.
What's a cancer cell?
So they are a cell that usually won't stop growing, and it causes other cells to not grow, and you know, it produces a tumor.
So cancer cells are basically, you've done cells with me, Hussein, haven't you? Have you done cells?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a cell, if you think about a cell becoming damaged, okay, so you've got a cell and it's become damaged, and that cell then is photocopying itself, okay? If you've got something that's damaged and you photocopy it, is the photocopy going to be damaged?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you're going to get lots of photocopied cells which are all damaged. And so basically a cancer is that. It's lots of damaged cells. And when those cells photocopy themselves quite a lot, it becomes a tumour. Okay? So that we wouldn't class it as a germ. Cancers aren't really germs. They're just damaged cells. And you get different types of cancer. So I'm talking about the ones that where you get tumours from. So the ones that are damaged and they multiply and you get a damaged, lots of damaged cells then. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah? Thank you for calling in, Hussein.
You're welcome.
Brilliant. I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Brilliant. Okay. Okay, brilliant. Right, so we were talking about viruses, and we mentioned, oh, chicken pox is a virus as well, okay? So with viruses, we can catch them quite easily. Viruses will travel in the air, so when people sneeze, okay? You might not see it, but those tiny droplets of their sneeze contains hundreds and hundreds of viruses. And as those viruses travel through the air, they might get you might breathe them in, and those viruses then start to make an attack on your body. And they do that by the process that we described earlier, which is that they will take the host cell. If the key matches with the lock, they will then begin to duplicate. Okay, but there's a really good video which I will put on the Facebook site, Science with Sid, and it looks into how viruses will travel. So they can travel through air, they can travel through contact. If you make contact with certain things, you're leaving bacteria and viruses behind. So they can travel through lots of different ways. Okay, now bacteria is an interesting thing. Have you boys done the Petri dishes where you do your fingerprints?
No, we've seen it, we haven't done it.
Have you not done it? Okay.
Nah.
So we did this with our Key Stage 3 group last week, I think, or the week before. So if any of you guys, boys are listening, you can call in and you can talk about it on air if you like. So we had some agar dishes, some Petri dishes, and people took their fingerprints, or they took swabs off the door or the floor, and we left it for a week. And the great thing about bacteria, well, not the great thing, but bacteria, every 20 minutes it duplicates. So if you start off with one bacteria, in 20 minutes you're going to have two.
Two, then four.
Yeah.
Then eight.
And before you know it, you're going to have hundreds. So by the end of the week, we had enough that we could see them with our naked eye. You don't need a microscope for that. Okay? And we saw some of the fingerprints. They were horrible. You could see all the bacteria growing there. I don't know whether we took samples of the doorknobs properly and the floor, because our fingerprints seemed to be the worst culprits of all of them. But it's amazing how much bacteria we carry on our fingertips, and we think our hands are washed, but they might not be. And even like when you wash your hands and then you touch the tap and then you touch the door and you touch the table and pens and stuff, you're spreading germs. Okay? And we don't realise that because we can't see it. But when you start to look at a Petri dish and how it's growing, it's quite gross. So what did you guys see at school? Did you grow, was it some bacteria that was already growing?
We didn't actually do it.
So what did you...
We basically just watched videos and then... Okay. Yeah, so what people did was the fingerprint thing. They took, like, swabs off their fingerprints. They actually put it on the actual thing. And then later they found out that there's, like, a lot of bacteria in there. It's, like, abnormal amounts and what people weren't expecting.
Yeah, there's always going to be lots of bacteria. Now, at the beginning, we did mention that some bacteria is good. Okay? Yeah. So you've got bacteria which is bad. You've got bacteria that is good as well. And you mentioned yogurt. I think we mentioned vinegar is also... So we'll talk about some of the good bacteria and where it's used before we start talking about the doom and gloom of all danger. There is some great stuff out there as well which helps us in a lot of different ways. Okay, so we have got a special type of bacteria which converts milk into yogurt. Okay, so it's a special type of bacteria. It can also turn milk into cheese. So that bacteria is quite good, because otherwise we wouldn't have cheese and we wouldn't have yogurt. Okay, and blue cheese is blue because, do you know why?
No.
Any of you had blue cheese?
No.
I'm not a fan of cheese, so I wouldn't have cheese at all, but apparently blue cheese is blue because it's mouldy. Okay, you've got fungi that's been added to it and it creates the blue veins on there. So not all bacteria and fungi and not all microbes are dangerous or bad for us. There are some great ones out there which help with food, which help with sewage works, which help with our body's digestive system. Yeast is another type of fungi. Okay, what do we use yeast for?
Bread, mainly.
Bread, I think they use it for wine as well.
Beer. Yeah, yeah. So we use it when you can add glucose and water to it. It produces carbon dioxide and alcohol. And that process is called fermentation. And in bread, most of the alcohol gets evaporated, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to eat it. But you have the use of that is in bread.
We've got a call.
We've got a call coming in as well. Okay, so we've got another call coming, and let me just finish off the sentence. So you've got use in bread, you've got use in, some places use it in cars as well as petrol. So the process, the sugar cane and the yeast. Okay, let's have another caller coming in.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, who's this?
My name's Tahmin, I'm Tahmin's auntie.
You're whose auntie?
Tahmid's.
Okay, brilliant. Right, have you called in for a quiz or have you called in for a question?
It's a question I've actually called in for.
Okay.
I just want to ask, how does viruses become resistant to antibiotics?
Okay, so I'm not an expert in this, but a lot of things will evolve over time. So with viruses, they will find ways of, when they duplicate themselves, they sometimes find a way of resisting. So I don't know all the ins and outs, so I'm not going to pretend that I do. The best thing to do is look online for that. But there are ways that they will become like you said, resistant to certain drugs, and that's why we have to keep, either if you've been prescribed antibiotics, finish the entire course, because if you don't, they're still there and then they learn how to become immune to it. So think about your own body. If you've had chickenpox once, your body learns how to not be attacked by that same virus again. So it becomes immune to it. There's cells in your body which remember that particular virus. So when it enters your body again, they will kind of retaliate and they will attack it as soon as it enters. Okay? So viruses work in the same way, where if you keep using the same kind of medication, they will learn a way of becoming immune to it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, brilliant. So let's go back to, we were talking about the good, useful microbes that we have. Vinegar? Any of you like vinegar?
I'd have it with my chips. So.
You like it on chips?
Yeah.
I don't like the smell of vinegar.
It's really strong.
Yeah, it's really strong. But we use it in a lot of science experiments as well, like when you were making volcanoes, and then it smells everywhere. But vinegar uses bacteria. Okay, and it turns alcohol into vinegar. So that's another use of bacteria. What about corn? You know all the stuff in veggie burgers, which tastes like meat, but they say it's vegetarian. What is that?
Not sure.
You ever thought of how they actually make it taste like meat, but it's not really meat?
I think it all is based on the flavour and the texture.
They're basically fungi. And it's the way that it's grown, and it's the way that it's cultivated and collected and pressed together, and it creates so they're microbes. So then it's not coming from animals, but you're using microbes to create that, which is really interesting. So there's that one. What about decay? So when an animal dies and it decays, what do we mean by decay? What's actually happening?
It's deteriorating.
Like the cells are dying off,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and it's bacteria. The process is called decay, but it's the bacteria which is causing that. Okay, so the bacteria is breaking it down, and then the process is called decay. Okay, and we've got lots of different types of decays that happen. So some people might make compost at home, and they use fruits and vegetables that they've thrown in the bin. They use old, I don't know, soil and stuff, leaves, all that kind of stuff. And the process, the decay process, okay, produces that compost heap at the end. Okay, so that's another use. What else is there? There is also sewage works. So the water you drink, do you know where it comes from? Yeah. From the taps?
Sewers.
Sewers.
Yes, so it's basically like cleaned and refined. So
you're drinking, I heard this somewhere, you're drinking the water that's been drunk by 7 or 8 people before you, which is pretty gross. So that water has gone through the sewage works 7 or 8 times before you. Okay, and what they do is they will add chemicals to it, they'll have certain bacteria acting on it, and then it'll kind of destroy all the dangerous stuff in there, and then we'll have that water come back through our taps again. So that might make you think twice next time you open a tap to drink some water. okay. Right, okay, oh, I stand corrected. So antibiotics isn't used to treat viruses, it's used to treat bacterial infections. And the most famous antibiotic is penicillin as well. So do you remember the story of penicillin, how it was discovered?
I can't remember
the details, but it was discovered by accident.
Yeah.
So they kind of left it growing, and they realised there was penicillin being produced, and it was just killing some other bacteria and stuff. Okay, brilliant. So those are the good types of bacteria. Any of you want to summarise what we've just talked about?
From the start.
The good types of bacteria.
So we all know that we have two different types of bacteria. One good for our for ourselves, and one not so. So we've got bacteria that, you know, trying to attack our body and trying to control the cells and duplicate itself, so it can go throughout the body. And there's others that are, you know, producing products for us to consume, such as, you know, bread, yeast, and other stuff as well.
Brilliant. So we have got some time now to talk about the harmful microbes in our body. Well, harmful microbes that we can get from places that enter our body. Okay, so let's mention some of the most famous ones. So we've got chicken pox. So what does chicken pox look like? You had chicken pox?
Yeah.
Both of you?
Yeah.
Is it nice?
No.
So what is chicken pox?
It's basically when you just start, like, when you actually look at it, it's just spots everywhere, and then it's like, it can be painful as well. It's contagious.
And it's itchy.
Yeah, it's itchy.
Blistering, red rash. and the way that they would definitely make sure that you have got chicken pox is if they were to take a blood sample. But in most cases, you can see someone's got chicken pox. How do you think it's transmitted from one person to the other?
I'd say the air.
The air. It's like the microbes transfer. Something like that.
Yeah, and direct skin contact as well. Okay, so we talked about how you can get microbes travelling through the air. Again, if someone's coughing or sneezing, yes, you can catch chicken pox off them as well, but also by direct contact as well. Okay, how can you prevent it? Is there a way of preventing it?
You could do, yeah.
How?
So the person that is suffering from chickenpox, it's best that no one that hasn't had chickenpox already like stays away from that person.
So that, but what if that's not reasonable? Is there another way of preventing it?
Washing your hands as soon as you come back. As well as, you know, taking jabs for it.
Yeah, you can actually get a vaccination for chickenpox.
So that's before you actually get it?
Before you actually get it, because how does chickenpox, once you've had it, it becomes immune. So if you're giving yourself a vaccination, you're making yourself immune before you actually get it. Okay, so we've come to the end of our first part of our show, and we'll continue after the short break. So this is 93.5 Unity FM. You're listening to Science with Sid. We're talking about microbes and germs today with our two guests in the studio, Abdullah and
Tahmid.
And we will be back after the break. So do call us. I haven't given out the number, so I'll do that now. 0121 772 8892. That's 0121 772 8892, and we shall see you in a couple of minutes.